What a blessing to have Gary and Pauline, and they were willing to not only share the children's message, but they will also bring the word to us. It's been a wonderful past couple of weeks to have Pastor Theo Wilson come, and I hope everyone was very encouraged and blessed. Last Sunday we had Pastor Tony Garcia, so we had Spanish, and now we're having Japanese, so I think we're catching God's global heart for the nations, and it's been such a blessing. Please pray for me immediately following service. I am jumping over to our original church location on Spruce Street here in Manchester. If you remember Pastor Charlton Daly, he was here with us for 130th anniversary. He has invited me to speak at their anniversary service, 17 years since they started Solid Rock Church of God. And so I will be delivering that message right after service today at their 11 o'clock service. Any of you are welcome to join. It's a very small building, so not all of you, but maybe a handful of you. But it's going to be really moving, just the fact that I'll be preaching where our ancestors preached, who started Trinity Covenant Church in the late 1800s, 130 years ago. So pray for me and pray that this beautiful relationship between our church and the church that's currently meeting at our previous location, previous facility, as we imagine what ministry could look like partnering together here in Manchester to serve the kingdom of God. So I'm very excited about that. Let me give Gary and Pauline a proper introduction. They are covenant missionaries to Japan since 1983. Gary, you are from Farmington, Connecticut. So Connecticut is home, and Pauline is from North Mankato, Minneapolis. Minnesota. My glasses are not working too well here. They have two sons, two daughters-in-law, six grandchildren, all of whom live in Japan. Very cool. During their years living in the Tokyo area, the Carlsons have worked with Japanese pastors to plant three churches. Pauline served on the board of directors for Christian Academy in Japan, CAJ, for 25 years. CAJ is a school established for the education of missionary children, but children from other families, expats, and Japanese also attend. Gary has taught for 12 years at Covenant Seminary, located in downtown Tokyo. The Carlsons retire at the end of August and will live in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and are looking forward to a trip back to Japan in October. Our church, for many, many years, has, through your generosity and faithful giving, have been supporting them for decades. And so they have asked to come, and to neighboring churches here in New England, to make the rounds to say thank you. And thus, many months ago, Gary reached out to me. So as their thank you, they're going to share the word of God. So can we welcome them back as they share God's message to us?
Summer, the leaves come out on the trees all over the mountains across Japan. It's a shovel not only your area where you park your car, you shovel the street in front of your house or apartment because there's no snow plows in our area.
And when you go outside in the snow, I'm used to powder snow in Minnesota, and it's a very wet snow. So you go to school or work with an umbrella, and that's just the way you do it. If you go to school or church, you would put shoes in a shoe box like this and change into slippers or inside shoes. And then if you're a kid, there's all kinds of cute little characters and different things that have become popular around the world.
We think of Japan in terms of old architecture, temples and shrines and castles, but Tokyo is a very, very modern city. A city of 14 million people, and the commuting area around Tokyo would make it 40 million people, probably one of the most populated urban areas in the world. This is a jigsaw puzzle of all the train and subway lines just in the greater Tokyo area.
Wow.
I think we've ridden most of them.
And this is what you do if you're going to work or school or maybe some shopping further away. You walk to the train station, you wait for the train. But people work really hard, and the kids study really hard. And so this junior high girl is really tired, and she's on her way to school fast asleep. People ask us, what about the food? What it's like? It's wonderful rice and soba and tempura. And then my favorite, which is like a pancake. It's not sweet, but it's a batter with meat and vegetables that you fry on a griddle.
My favorite food is sushi, not just in Japan, but around the world. That's my number one favorite, raw fish. And we've had a number of foods from different countries come in. Just before we left, this was a Vietnamese sandwich shop that started up in our neighborhood.
And you can order Domino's. It could come by bicycle or by motorcycle because it's easy to get in the narrow streets. And Colonel Sanders is there. He gets dressed up for Christmas with his Santa uniform outside of the KFC. When you go shopping in Japan, there's not as many choices in America. That center section there, that's all the cereal that there is in our local grocery store. And the way that I go to shop is by bicycle. You put stuff in the front and in the back and go shopping just about every day. And if you go to the train station, this is the double-decker bicycle parking spot. Pay a dollar and you can park your bike all day long and it's safe.
We deal with some things that probably you don't deal with here. One is typhoons. This was one time when we had to put tape up on the larger windows because it was going to be a severe storm. There could be several of them every summer coming through our area. And then, of course, earthquakes and tsunamis, and the biggest one was March 11th of 2011 that wiped out so many homes and so many people's lives were lost back in that time. I enjoy getting to know our neighbors. This is a guy that was my coffee roaster for the last number of years. Here's my barber with his wife. Now, for the students, you might, if you were in Japan, right next to your elementary school, have a little stationery store where you can get some of your books and pencils and erasers and all. So we got to know this woman. And finally, my favorite place to go in our neighborhood, the sushi shop, of course. And the guy who had been serving me sushi for most of those 40 years we lived in Japan.
Wow.
People will ask us about the religions in Japan. There are two, Shinto and Buddhism. They're used by most all Japanese people, and it's not a matter of choosing one or the other. You can go to a Buddhist temple and find a Shinto shrine on the grounds there. People offer up prayers to the gods, and their prayers simply, may my son get into college, may my daughter get a good job. Those kind of very practical things, and people don't really have an idea of who they're praying for. The people of Japan, maybe 1% are Christian.
So we want to just come and say thank you. Because of your prayers and giving, you have partnered with us in a variety of ministries. The first is planting three churches. Our first church was northwest of Tokyo, about 70 miles up in the rice fields. Our first 3 years we were there, worship, it was our family of four and one Japanese believer. But in Sunday school, we had 35 students, kids coming. And so I just prayed that those kids, as they heard the gospel message, that something would be remembered when they're older as adults. And these are some of the moms that would send their kids to be in the Sunday school class.
Our second church plant was in the city of Kawasaki, just south of Tokyo, the Nakahara Christ Church. A very, very amazing kind of ministry, because Pastor and Mrs. Sasaki also had licensing and credentials in elder care. So as the church was planted, we also started an elder care ministry, later a ministry to moms with preschool kids, group home for people with disabilities. More recently, they've had rental homes for people, men coming out of prison, so that they can get a start back into society. Church now has its own four-story building. The first floor is a worship space, but during the week is used for daycare for the elderly. Second floor, meeting room, classroom, business rooms. The third and fourth floor would be apartments for, again, the elderly and those with disabilities. And if you went to the church on any given weekday, you might find that the moms with the preschool kids are there, and the kids are playing with the elderly to kind of mix those two ministries together in a creative way.
Our last church is the Shonan Community Church, south of Tokyo along the coast. God led us to a neighborhood that had 700 homes and no church presence. So we just felt really blessed to be there. We worked first with a Japanese pastor and later on with Pastor Vaughn in this picture, and his wife, he's from Korea. And that was a good connection, too, because we also made a connection in the neighborhood with the kids, because they wanted to come and hear about Jesus. And I also taught English classes. And again, moms were loving it. We had Vacation Bible School. And just as you're going to have Vacation Bible School coming up, kids would come, and it was so much fun. They'd bring their friends. And again, a chance just to share Jesus with these kids. The connection with Pastor Vaughn, his church in Korea, sent over a team to teach people how to make kimchi, which is Korean pickles. Very spicy, very good. But again, it's a way to invite neighbors to the church to make connections, and they could start hearing about Jesus. This church had 8 nationalities represented. When I went to Japan, I thought, I'm going to Japan to share Christ with Japanese. And God blessed us to meet other nationalities and be a part of their work together. But as just like you, we had COVID, so we went online. But God used that, because in many cases, Gary said 1% are Christian. There might only be one Christian in the family. So during COVID, if they were starting to listen online in the living room or whatever, the rest of the family started hearing the message. We know one couple, they're in their 90s, they want to be baptized.
Wow.
Because they heard the gospel through listening online with their daughter.
Amen.
So another thing you've helped with is missionary kid education, as Pastor Peter said. I was on the board of directors of Christian Academy in Japan, which was started for educating Christian missionary kids, and it was a blessing to see how God could use the school not only in the immediate neighborhood, but to support missions throughout Japan.
Your prayers and giving have allowed me to be able to be part of the education of pastors and lay leaders at our church, in our churches, through Covenant Seminary. Covenant Seminary is a seminary of about 70 students right in downtown Tokyo, and probably the largest Protestant seminary in Japan. I taught missiology for 12 years. That's the study of God's reaching out to the world to redeem everyone through Jesus and the cross and the resurrection. So I probably had 92 students over 12 years, and those people are out in the churches with a larger vision for what God is doing in the world. Also, your prayers and giving have helped me to be an interim pastor. We did plant churches, but I was also asked twice to be an interim pastor at churches in crisis. One of them was the Hiraska Covenant Christ Church, which lost its pastor when it was discovered that this man was not doing things in a moral way. And I was asked to come in and help the church heal and find new direction to send just a wonderful group of about 25 people. One of their pastors needed to leave because he was trying to pull the church in a direction that no one wanted to go. Almost resulted in a church split. So I went in again to help people regain their sense of being God's family in that location that they had a ministry to share. We, as we left Japan, realized that we and other missionaries and Japanese pastors were getting older. But we're rejoicing to know that there are younger pastors who are coming along, like Pastor Hiro, who took over my missiology class. He's also a pastor of one of our largest churches in the Japan Covenant. There are others that God is raising up among young men and women to continue to lead the church and to move it forward. We're also thankful for people who come to Christ. And Mr. Ishii wanted to be baptized in the ocean. And we found out later it was a surfer's beach, so we had surfers whizzing around all around us. But people were walking by asking questions. What are you doing with those funny white gowns on? Pastor Bonner to the left is the one who actually did the baptism. I like to tell people I was there because it's a beach with a little bit of an undertow. I was the lifeguard for the baptism. But in all these ways, we've been able to minister in Japan because of your faithfulness and giving. And we're grateful for a chance to be back and report that to you. So thank you very much.
So yes, I want to also say thank you, because we couldn't have done what we were doing in Japan. And just continue praying for all the missionaries you support and others that you're aware of. So thank you.
Thank you.
Chapter 4 from verse 35 to verse 41. Chapter 4 from verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Well, Pauline and I live in Minnesota. And you may know that as the land of 10,000 lakes. And I think there are probably at least 10,000 stories that people have of what happens on those lakes. It might be a fish that got away. Well, I have my own lake story, but it's up at Pilgrim Pines, if you know the Covenant Camp near Keene. I went there every summer for 9 years, and one of the last times I was a counselor. And on a day off, I wanted to swim across the lake. It's about 5 football fields. Across in distance. So I asked a friend who's also a counselor who also had the afternoon off, "Allison, would you spot me in a boat?" She said, "Sure." So I got in the water at the swimming area. She went and got not a rowboat like I thought, she got a canoe. And the wind was blowing from the south. So as I went from the west to the east, she got blown up to the north, totally away from me. And this is a lake, if you've ever been on it, with a lot of motorboats pulling water skiers or just having fun on the lake. So I just kept my eyes open. Every time a boat came close, I dove underwater and stayed down for a while and came back up. Eventually, I made it across safely and joined Allison, who had come around to the other side, and we got in the canoe and paddled back together. Lakes are wonderful. I love lakes, but lakes can be dangerous, and we see this in our story today. The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles north to south and about 8 miles east to west. It's the lowest freshwater lake in the world. And it's surrounded by hills, which means sudden storms can come up, and this is what happened. But earlier in the day, Jesus had been teaching people on the shore of the lake, sitting in the boat of one of his disciples. And at the end of his time of teaching, he said to the disciples, "Let's go to the other side." Now, if it was me, it would be, it would be nice if it all works out. If it's okay with you guys, it would be nice. I'd like to see the other side. But no, this is Jesus who is the Lord of all creation. So when he says, let's go to the other side, that's going to happen no matter what happens on the way, even when the storm comes up. He was so confident in his mission that Jesus even fell asleep in the boat. And when they arrived, and you can read about this in chapter 5 later on, they find that there's a man there who needs Jesus' ministry. And that's why I think Jesus is saying, let's go to the other side. The storm was frightening for the disciples, but Jesus stilled the storm. This, for me, has been kind of a metaphor of a lot of the things that Pauline and I have experienced in our 40 years of ministry in Japan. Do you remember that story that Pauline told of our first church plant? We might have had 35 children in Sunday school, but in worship, for 3 years, it was our family of four and one Japanese baptized believer. Midway through those years, if Miss I, that's her name, if she had said, well, this church obviously isn't going anywhere, I'm leaving, then Pauline and I would have had to probably pack our bags and go somewhere else in Japan or maybe even go back to the U.S. But Miss Arai stayed with us, and God was faithful. And at the end of those 3 years, there were people that were starting to come to our church. That's still a vital church. We've had other experiences throughout our years in Japan where we started a ministry and it seemed like once it got started that it was going to fail, and yet God was faithful. Jesus was with us in the midst of the storm and helped us to cross to the other side. We think about that also in terms of retirement. We don't know what that's going to be for us. What kind of things will we be doing? We believe God has something for us on the other side of retirement. And there may be storms that come up as we get into whatever that may be, but God will be faithful with us. And I wonder how this passage hits you as individuals and as a church. Maybe you're, as an individual or as your church, in a kind of transition time. Maybe there's a storm and something's difficult. Maybe it feels like Jesus is nowhere to be found or he's back asleep and not paying any attention to what you're going through. The truth is that Jesus knows what's going on. He is with you right now in whatever you're going through. And he will take you to the other side of that difficult experience. You may not be in a storm right now, but we know what life is like. Those things come up. If you're not in the midst of the storm, just know that when one comes, Jesus will be with you. Pauline and I are so grateful for your faithfulness to us over all these years in Japan, how you've helped us to do all these ministries. We have learned so much, and we have grown in our faith because of what we have done in Japan. And maybe the most important thing we've learned is how faithful God is all the time to us in every situation. May that be true in your walk with him and your service as a church together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance that Paul and I have to be with our brothers and sisters here at Trinity Covenant Church in Manchester. Thank you for what each of them represent as Christ followers. Thank you for what this church represents in this community. We pray your blessing on all of them, and especially those who might feel like they're in the midst of a storm, that they may have a new sense of your presence and your purpose for their lives and for this church. We pray that you would be glorified in all these things as they continue to walk together. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Can we thank Gary for that wonderful message? Thank you, Gary. This time we will celebrate the Lord's Supper together, Holy Communion, and as those of us who may be at home watching via live stream, you can put together your own elements and take it with us as we do so in just a few minutes. And so as we get ready to do that, we invite you to stand together if you are able, and we will recite the Apostles' Creed as one voice, as one congregation. And we'll put it up on the screen, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, in word, in deed. By what we have done and what we have not done, we have not loved you with all of our hearts, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, Lord, and we humbly repent at this time. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, O Lord, and forgive us that we may delight in your will and once again, with renewed strength and a joyful heart, walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. In just a few moments after we have the words of institution, being reminded of that Last Supper in the upper room with Jesus and his disciples, our ushers will invite you row by row from the front to the back to come, and you will come. Receive them as they'll be placed into your hands, and then you can take it right there or even return back to your seats. I will be on this side, and we'll have members of our prayer team available on the other side to say a word of prayer, to encourage you, to listen to you, whatever you might need. We're available to meet with you and pray together. And so now hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are now delivered by the Apostle Paul on the night and which Jesus was betrayed. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Whenever you eat this bread, whenever you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns. The scripture reminds us to examine ourselves as we approach the Lord's table. None of us are worthy, but we have been graced because of Jesus to be called sons and daughters of the King. And so, as we have repented together, we encourage you to come by faith to meet Jesus once again in the elements as his Holy Spirit is here and through his word. With that, I'm just going to say a quick word of prayer and then invite our communion service forward and ushers as well. Let's pray together. And I just want to give you a moment to reflect on some of the things you've heard. God is the God of show and tell. Thank God he is. In the person of Jesus and through his word. No matter what we are going through, and our loved ones, your children, your grandchildren, your friends and neighbors, all the challenges we've been through as a community these past couple of years, Gary reminded us in Jesus' words that he will get us to the other side. Would you allow that to speak to your hearts? No matter what you're going through or what you may go through, he will get us to the other side. Just take a moment, quietly reflecting to pray. Thank you. Dear Jesus, thank you that you're a God of show and tell. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to show us in real flesh and blood that you're a God of love and grace. And you are a God of truth and wisdom and power. We thank you that you have come to tabernacle with us in the person of Jesus. And we approach your table once again in the sacrament of communion. Meet us once again, Lord. Renew us. Cleanse us. Help us to reset our hearts once again back towards you. And so, Spirit, come and meet us during this time of this sacrament that you have established for your disciples. And so we commit this time to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. We invite our communion servers forward and ushers, and as you'll be invited to come and take of the elements and meet with Jesus.